Thank you for listening to the Tatnus Podcast on the Tatnus Co. Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, a Mercedes, kind of sentiment, luxury, and trust in me to honor the free we all should be in. Sees my sundown burst into yin and yang, green left me.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the Tatnus Podcast. My guest today is an awesome, awesome guest. Proud to call her a friend of mine, Angela Joseph. You may have seen her in The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Johnny Knoxville. She was also in Breaking Bad. She's done a lot of movies, Clown Motel. We had a great time, great conversation. Check it out, man.
All right. So it's awesome to have you on, especially. And
thank you so much.
I'm a little bit envious, not going to bullshit. You got to work with Schwarzenegger. And that
he's so nice.
I love that dude, so yeah.
Oh, me too.
Sweet dude. Really would have been cool to work with him. So and then you were on Breaking Bad, which I loved. I binge watched that whole damn show because I was late to the party on that.
Oh wow.
Truthfully, I had no interest whatsoever in watching it. And an ex of mine when I was with her at the time was like, you would probably really like it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't have an interest, man. I'm not a big TV guy.
Right.
So she's like, when we had nothing going on one day, she's like, let's just watch it and see what you think. So we made it through about two shows. And then she's kind of looking at me to see like what I think. And I looked at her like, the fuck are you doing? Put another one on, damn it. Like, I was
time to binge. It's time to binge. Yeah, Breaking Bad is awesome. It was a great experience. I got to work with Anna Gunn and Dirk Norris in a scene where Dirk has figured out that what Walt's doing, and there's a confrontation. Well, Anna turns to leave the restaurant and bumps into my table. Like repeatedly, it was just over and over. And the last time she did it, she just, you know, because they're like, all right, cut. And she just falls right on the table. And we were laughing so hard.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to work on those shows. And even if it is just background, you get to learn so much. Right. And now with my career, these background things have turned into cameos. So it's
amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I got to a point where I binged on it so hard, I made it through like a couple seasons and I was caught up. So then I was with everybody else having to wait, you know, a week. And then when it ended, I was like, what am I going to do with my life now?
Better call Saul.
Right, I had nothing to look forward to.
Better call Saul. I'm sorry, but yeah, a lot of my friends and talent are in all of that stuff. You know, Jerry Giangelo has a reoccurring role in Better Call Saul. So that one's, you should get that one next.
Right. I mean, people were saying, well, you know, Breaking Bad's on Netflix now, you can watch it again. And I'm like, no, I am not going to put myself through that heartache because it's going
and to end. And then El Camino, there's a movie.
I can't wait. That's going to be.
You got to see it. It's already out.
Right. I can't wait. I got to get time. I'm so damn busy all the time now that
I know you got to take time for viewing the good stuff though.
I've refused to watch Breaking Bad on Netflix again because I'm like, no, I'm not going through that heartbreak again because it's going to end again.
No, exactly. Exactly. Back to that. Back I know. It is heartbreaking, isn't it?
Right. It's like, it's so damn good. And then I just found out the other day, like going, you know, when you go back and you watch stuff from way back.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, holy shit, this dude was in this. And the dude in the wheelchair in Breaking Bad was the landlord in Ace Ventura.
Nice. And yeah, it is fun to figure all of that out and connect the dots.
Yeah, and I was like, that's cool. I saw it on Netflix. I saw like the trailer, or like not the trailer, but just that little preview that they give. And I was like, holy shit, that dude's the dude with the bell and shit from Breaking Bad. I was like, it's the landlord from Ace Ventura.
That's awesome. And in Breaking Bad, he was so wicked.
He was awesome. I love that guy because, like, yeah. Because, you know, he did his job so well. because I remember.
Yes, he did.
I remember watching it like, he's going to fuck everything up. Fuck that guy.
I was like so pissed.
I was like, he's a rat. He's going to like snitch with his stupid little bell.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's got you rooting for Walter White and Jesse Pinkman.
Right. It was so good. I mean,
that's it really was. It really, really was. I mean, there's so much truth behind it, though. I mean, the healthcare system. What are you going to do if you get cancer? Well, I got to go sell. I got to go make a really good recipe and go sell some blue meth.
Or move out here to Canada, whatever. I mean,
yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah. You guys are blessed with that. So that is wonderful.
Right.
Cheers. Cheers to Lorene Landon and the wonderful Coos Dog.
Yeah. Mug. She was born in the same area that I was. So
that's yes, it's a blessing. Some good people come from up there. I know Sherry
Nelson.
Nelson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sherry Nelson as well.
I absolutely love Sherry. She's a very good
friend. So sweet.
She's amazing. Yeah. Very, very good friend of mine. Super sweet. So that's really
when they sent Ron the part to his baby, his little car. I was just warmed. My heart melted.
Yeah, she does a lot of really cool stuff for people, man. And I love that because, you know, I'm like that in the sense where I think Sherry and I are both the same. No matter how long we've been successful and doing shit, we're always grateful because we both realize, like, it's not owed to us. You know, we
work. Exactly.
You work your ass off, sure, but you know, it's not guaranteed. It's not promised and it's not owed to you. So, you know, we're both grateful for every single thing that happens, even if it seems like it's this, you know, I've got like 8 frames to put on my wall of publications where I was interviewed, shit like that. And it's because I'm grateful. It's not an ego boost. It's literally the fact that somebody took a part of their career and said, you're worth, you know, talking about. And I'm grateful for that. No matter how much I've accomplished, I don't give a shit. It never gets old. It never, you know, 5 years of it, and I'm still
exactly
just as grateful as I always was. So,
and isn't it a good feeling when you lift up other people and inspire other people and help? Like, I know you're very charity driven as well. My organization is autism. You know, my grandson Bruce Lee has autism, and you know, I missed the walks because of the pandemic. We didn't get to go on our walk this year, and that was kind of heartbreaking. And we always get new team shirts for Bruce, and you know, so I did miss that this year, and we gave some money anyhow, but it still would have been nice because the kids have such a great time. Everybody out for the walk. You know, I'm out in Denver, so we always have a really nice autism walk.
Right. And I'm starting, you know, a charity myself because of my son's condition that took his life.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, 2018. But I mean, they gave him 2 weeks to live because of the condition. That's the history.
Oh, wow.
But he lived to be 2 years old. So he fought his ass off. So, you know, I'm doing a charity thing. But then I started to like shift my focus a little bit to, you know, making more work for myself, of course, but to make it like a nonprofit organization with charity status.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I can put funds into research for the condition that he had, NKH, but also put funds towards other things that help children so I can cover as much ground as possible, because I don't have the most faith in some charities. Like you can never be sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Going to research, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not the charity's fault. Usually it's like once you relinquish the money, you don't know what's happening with it. And if it's
right.
If it's not all going to research, especially with this condition being so rare, say the government or somebody decides, well, it's so rare, it's not that important, let's put it towards something else, or let's take a chunk of it for ourselves and give the research lab, you know, a piece of it.
Yeah, if you're gonna donate, why don't you just donate the whole thing?
Right. So
yeah.
If they're gonna do things like that behind my back, and I don't know, because I, you know, do any of us really know where the donations truly go? Once the charities relinquish it, we don't know that the labs.
Yeah, it's really sad. Some of the newer and smaller, you know, more independent type charities, you can actually see. Doodle. Sorry about that.
No,
it's my little Mexican chihuahua, and he likes to. make himself known. and the Esky is picking on him. That's why I stopped looking at him. That's all that's going on over here. She's just staring at him and he's not happy about that.
Yeah, so I figured, you know, if I was to make it a nonprofit organization, it allows me to cover more ground with, like, giving research money, but also giving money for kids that can't afford back-to-school supplies or kids that are less fortunate in terms of, you know, anything. Food banks, gorgeous dog.
Thank you. Yeah, this would be the only way to get her to leave dude alone is just to let her sit right here.
And this now is
Gemma.
Now my cat's starting, so I mean.
Okay, yeah, it's a pet thing.
Right.
This is Gemma. She's the first dog named after a clown in Clown Motel.
That's awesome. That's a gorgeous dog.
Thank you. American Eskimo.
Beautiful. So how was working on that movie? Because that's
oh my goodness, it's so much fun. I mean, it's been an adventure. Clown Motel has been an adventure because, you know, it's really a real location. So it's not like we set up and stuff. Exactly. We go down to the motel in Tonopah, Nevada, and this is our third movie, my second. I was in the first one and the sequel right now that we're still filming, and. The writer Joseph Kelly, he did a short down there as well. They were him and his editor Dave Bailey were on a road trip, I think Shriek Fest or Shock Fest or something like that, one of those conventions a few years back, and they passed by that motel and they were like, oh my god, that's a horror movie waiting to happen. That's and they made it happen. And actually the success of the motel is phenomenal since the movie.
No doubt.
It's really, really crazy. And they're doing a lot of really, really cool things. They've been really, really nice hosts for, you know, for our filming, as well as other people that film in the desert out there. Because there's, you know, a number of locations near Tonopah that have, you know, caves and deserts and, you know, aren't regulated by your Hollywood studios. So, you know, we've been working hard to make things happen during a pandemic when a lot of the big studios are, they're kind of taking a break because there's really not much they can do. You know, we get ready to film The Bleeding Dark. This one starts filming next week.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that one's up in Oregon. So
that's so cool. I'm stoked at the fact that now people want me to get into that industry and be a horror killer. I was like, dude, say when.
Say when. There's so much going on right now, Keith. You're gonna have to definitely keep following, you know, because I'll have some more casting and some new moves coming up. But right now, currently, we are funded and filming The Bleeding Dark starting next week. We just had it ended up being a real blessing. We just had a cast change, and our new lead for The Bleeding Dark is none other than Courtney Gaines from Children of the Corn and Back to the Future.
Awesome.
I know. I've been on a Courtney Gaines kick for the past week now, watching and The Burbs, rewatching all his movies, and it's just so much fun.
That is cool. I mean, that's definitely, you know, I saw that. And
Courtney and Eileen, come on. That's Pazuzu and Malachi.
Right.
The demon from The Exorcist and Malachi from Children of the Corn.
That is so cool.
I mean, it's a dream team for me. I'm so excited.
That's going to be super cool. Yeah, I was pretty jazzed when I saw that. I was like, oh, that's going to be awesome for you.
I know. It's sick. It was like the best news all year for me. Yeah. I mean, every movie I work with Eileen is one of the best, you know, best times of the year. But Eileen and I have been very close for a couple of years now since the Clown Motel autograph signing at Dark Delicacies 2 years ago.
That's awesome.
That's when we met. And she's an amazing soul and I absolutely love her to death. And, you know, I met Jimmy and Ron through Crepitus. I was publicity on Crepitus. And when we finally met at a red carpet, it's just been history. They are the most amazing people in the whole world. And always, always lifting people up and always helping and always so fun and funny and genuine and just good people.
Yeah, anybody that makes me laugh that damn much is always
good. I know, laughing all the time, every day. I love our life.
Yeah, they got the same sense of humor as I do, so immediately we just meshed. I mean, Ron and I wish people could hear what was off air before we started on my show, because it was hilarious. The ball busting started immediately.
He's really fun.
Yeah, the stories and everything. It was just like, I was like, this is my kind of person immediately. So to get high praise from him after the fact, I was like, man, that's cool. You know,
that is awesome. That is awesome. Are you comfortable, Gemma? Because I'm not. Are you comfortable now?
And the thing I love about Ron is that he doesn't blow smoke up anybody's ass. So to be told by a bunch of people after the fact, oh, Ron just adores you, man. He thought the world of you. He had so much fun doing your show. And you know, mm-hmm. I was like, damn, you know, that's crazy. And, you know, one night I shot Eileen a message and I just said, hey, you know, thanks for, you know, putting in so much work and everything. And she's like, no, man. She's like, thank you, because from what I'm hearing from every guest you've had thus far, including Ron, you're like one of the best interviewers on the planet. So thank you for working.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, damn, that's crazy.
That is great. You're doing a great job. I enjoyed watching your shows, so I knew it was going to be fun.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you know, I want that. I always tell people, like, my priority is that the guests are respected and comfortable and enjoy their time, because I value everybody's time, because you can't give that back. So I don't want to waste people's time if they clearly are not, you know, into it or whatever. I'm not even going to bother wasting their time.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to bore them with the same old, you know, boring questions. And
not at all. I've enjoyed every one of your shows, and you've had some of my best friends on the show. You know, Lorraine Landon, Joe Castro, Jimmy and Ron. Just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of friends in the industry. I got CJ Graham coming on in on the 16th, a friend of mine. And, you know, and he's a really cool guy. I've had Mick Strong on, who was the production designer for Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4. And he did the effects for Boogie Nights, which I just watched again the other day.
Don't you love watching stuff that your friends made? It's just such a feeling of pride. You're so proud of your friends, you know?
Yeah, man. And, you know, he told me a hilarious story about the prosthetic that they used. And he's like, man, I was intimidated. He's like, I'm hung like a hamster. And they bust out this 12-inch fucking dildo. Slap it right on the desk, you know. And he's just like, man, I had a complex. He said this.
Oh, my God.
Literally said this on my show. I'm like, you just outed yourself on my show, bro.
Oh, that's horrible. Oh, my God.
He had that sense of humor, you know.
Yeah, but no shame, I guess. When Kevin Smith had his heart attack, remember he told all of the stories about being terrified to be in his underwear naked to the doctors, and
yep. They
had him all on on sleepy meds, and it was on. Yep. I think that's really funny, and he told the world. So
yeah, he's a great guy, man. He doesn't mind. he's got a sense of humor about himself, which I love. You have to.
Yeah, you have to. Exactly. You have to.
The second you start taking yourself way too seriously, nobody wants to deal with you.
Yeah, I know. It's boring. It's boring. Just be real. Be nice. Be genuine. Lift people up. Help people. Be positive. We don't need any new crap in Hollywood and entertainment. We're trying to clean up all that crap that we've had to deal with for decades, so let's leave the crappy people to the past.
Right. I mean, Ron talked about his experience where he said he worked with somebody recently that had that mentality of like, don't you know who I am, and blah blah blah, and he's like,
they suck. Those type of people suck.
Yeah,
honestly, they suck. I don't like working with those type of people, and I think it shows in the cast and crew that I do work with. They're absolutely genuine souls, and they're amazing people.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. He said there's not too many he can say that about, but there's the odd one. And he said, mm-hmm. You're clear of them. you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you do. You stay clear.
Because.
And people learn by example. They see what you're doing or whatever. But, you know, and I also heard you guys, you were talking with Jimmy about all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden you want people to talk to you, just say you got a movie casting or something like that.
It's
fun. Big announcement. I'm getting ready to cast a movie, or a big announcement coming. And then all these people come out of the woodworks that you're like, oh, you didn't support me for shit. So
right.
Bye.
Or, you know, like you get published in like 7 bajillion fucking articles and things like that. Nobody gives a shit. It's too hard.
Right.
Too hard to click a button to show that they're supporting you.
Yeah. It's a like or a love. It's really easy. It's not.
But when they need
that tough.
Right, but when they need money, who the hell's the first person they come to with? Oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this and how I'm going to pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not okay. We're hardworking independent filmmakers, and we are, you know, utilizing the Jobs Act and our crowdfunding, because this wasn't available to us before. It's only been available since 2016, and I am a very big part of Legion M. I've been invested in them since second round and participated in everything that we've got going. The next one I need to see right now is Save Yourselves, which we bought at Sundance. I'm a Legion and Scout, third year running, and we get to Scout Sundance. We've got a really, really, really super cool app that all of Legion uses to scout the films that they need to see while the crew is at Sundance.
That's cool.
So, yeah, last year we bought Alien, The Origins of Alien, the documentary on Alien. And this year we bought Save Yourselves, which looks so fun. I can't wait to see it. And that's available on your streaming devices. And you can also go to legionm.com and go in the shop and buy stuff there.
That is cool. I love things like that when people just keep kind of building on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You have to. I mean,
you really do. Otherwise, nobody's going to do it for you. You got to make it happen.
That's right. I always tell people, man, you know, if you reach the top of a mountain, find a bigger fucking mountain, start climbing again.
Exactly. You just start over, back to one.
Yeah, because if you don't, enjoy your 15 minutes, because that's all you're going to have.
That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get.
The hardest part, you know, once you become successful, the hardest part is staying there.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true.
Really begins, you know what I mean? People want something new. Mm-hmm. So getting there is the easy part in comparison to staying there. You always got to kind of reinvent yourself and do new things and, you know, try new things and not be afraid to fail once in a while. It's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's crazy because there's so many things that I never considered. And then doing this and doing a bunch of other shit, I had a lot of pros around me that were like, damn, like everything you touch, you just slay that shit. Have you ever considered acting? Because you can't get punched in the face forever, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Unless you want a brain like eggnog, then, I mean, you know. So they're like, have you ever considered acting? I was like, you know, I never thought of it. But, you know, I'm open to anything. And then to be pitched the idea of you're 6'5", 265 of muscle. Why the fuck are you not a horror killer?
I know, not just that, but there's so many of you guys that are acting. You know, Chuck Liddell is in Nation's Fire, and I got to run the red carpet for Thomas Churchill for Nation's Fire, and, you know, he's an awesome soul. Lorene introduced me to him. He's really nice, him and his wife, Heidi.
Yeah, he's a great you know, and then I was like, well, shit. You said the magic word when you said horror. Like, you know.
Yes, I'm glad you're a horror lover, too. It's one of the best genres out there.
Yeah, I mean, shit, high praise coming from Jimmy, too, to say, why the fuck, why are you not the next Jason or Myers? And I'm like, dude, if somebody came to me before they finish their sentence, I'd be like, yes.
Yes. I have friends that were in that were involved producing and writing that Friday the 13th Vengeance that Jason Brooks did the Jason for. And there was a scene that one of my friends, Don Shell, was dressed him as Jason. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to play in these universes. I mean, I started off as a horror lover because of my man Stephen King.
Right.
He's just my daddy would make me read the book first. Right. And the first one that before I could see the movie, I had to read the book and explain to him, you know, kind of what was going on. So my first one was Cujo. Oh. And Cujo, I love animals, obviously. I love my dogs. So that book was written from the mindset of the dog, not like a horror movie, not like that. You felt sorry for the dog as the rabies started taking over, and him, you know, with his boy, he just, in the dog's mind, tell you, it's my boy, why am I growling at him? Why, you know, and just the deterioration of the virus after the rabbit bit him. It was one of the most amazing books I'd ever read. And then I watched the movie and I was like, oh, poor dog, poor puppy, you know? So
I was that weird kid that back in the day when that movie Beethoven came out, I went to a friend's birthday party and they went to go see that at the theater. So I had to go see it. Their dad was like, so what'd you guys think of the movie? I was like, Cujo was better. I was that weird kid that, you know.
That's hilarious.
So I guess
Beethoven was cute, but yeah, Cujo was better movie. I agree.
So, you know, it's funny. And my boy CJ Graham played Jason's father in the movie you're talking about.
Vengeance, yes.
Which mm-hmm. was really cool.
And Joe Castro did the effects on Vengeance.
So that's super cool. And
yeah, all our friends. It's so awesome.
My boy Mick Strong worked on it as well. So it's small world, man.
It is a small world, especially when you're in the movie business.
Right. He did
independent film, yeah.
Yeah,
we all know each other.
Exactly. Like, he did the movie Blade when that came out back in 98.
Nice.
The special effects for that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I thought, fuck, for a comic book movie, this is graphic, dude. Like, there's a lot of blood in this.
That is so sick. I love it. I
never would have thought in a million years at that time that a bunch of years later I'd be friends with the guy that did it. So.
Oh, my goodness. You've got to have Joe Lujan on your show. He just won number one universe at Shock Fest for the Ravage Reign universe. His comic book universe, also Obscura, is in this universe. And it is an absolutely amazing universe. I've did the red carpet for him for Immortal Wars Resurgence.
Oh, nice.
In Beverly Hills. He is doing amazing. And to be voted number one universe at Shock Fest is... Bravo, Joe Lujan. Everybody go check out Joe Lujan in the Ravage Reign universe and get involved in a new one. Unfortunately, Stan is gone. And, you know, we do have a lot of wonderful things that we can thank Stan for. But now there are some new universes developing. Create, you guys. But that's a big shout out to Joe Lujan for Ravage Reign universe.
Hell yeah. Send him my love, man.
Oh yeah, definitely, Keith. I'm going to send him your way, and also Jerry G. Angelo, who's the writer and director of Obscura and American Warfighter.
Beautiful. I am open to like any talent that deserves recognition, because there's so much of it out there that there's so much stuff that just gets buried because of the content that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're not great. It's just there's so much. And of course,
yeah,
it becomes who has the money to advertise the most. And that's bullshit, because.
Well yeah, I've got little secrets. I get them in other places. I've been doing this on Facebook, in the Facebook systems and whatnot since 2011. So I used to work for Hewlett Packard. So I'm a little bit of a nerd.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. I'm so into art. Like, I draw like a motherfucker all the time, that I like when I get the time. I do a lot of like
horror. I heard your art is absolutely amazing.
Oh, thanks. I don't know, I keep hearing that from people. I'm like, that's crazy.
I got an opportunity for you. They've got a new comedy show. It's called Danny McDermott Show. We've done our second episode. It's getting a lot of press. He's a New York comedian and he's doing really well. And actually, one of the South Park artists was watching our show. Was watching our show on Wednesday. And this was after we all watched Ron and Jimmy's show with Mona. Marshall, the one of the voices from South Park. So we're looking for somebody to help us with in an original comic within our show.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, shit's been so busy. I haven't done art in a while, like not like forever, but it's been months at least, because things have been so damn hectic. But when I do get the chance, like I'll get this like weird retro mood where I'll do some like 80s horror shit.
Nice.
I'm such a Freddy freak. There's a page on Facebook that you can find that has a lot of my work. And I use Copic markers, which are alcohol-based markers that are they're blendable. So they look just like a comic book when you use them properly.
Oh, nice.
So you could get like 3 or 4 shades of a color or more and make a gradient. So it'll be like a shading, like a shadow to light seamlessly.
So, oh, wow. That sounds so awesome.
Oh, they're $8 a marker out here, but they're so worth it.
Oh yeah, I
went into a store one day and I grabbed a handful and spent $315 on them just because I can, and I'm like, I love these fucking things.
That's great.
I love the shit. So because it was pitched to me about being a horror movie killer, I started saying when I get a minute to do art, like, I'm going to design a creepy fucking mask. Like, I'm going to, like, go gung-ho on this and design something that... So I'm asking people, what elements of a horror mask freak you the fuck out? Yeah, and trying to get bits and pieces of things that would really... You know, I don't want it to be too damn busy. But
yeah, not too busy. And it's not a mask, but I guess it is a mask, but Freddy Krueger... His burnt up, disgusting face, right. and he's the one that really freaked me out, and I had to figure out how to face my fears Stephen King style, because Freddy, that little fucker can get you while you're sleeping. Fuck that shit. That is not my idea of fucking fun. I go to sleep to disconnect from the world and enjoy myself, not be chased by a motherfucker that can only get me when I'm sleeping. Oh, that is a nightmare to me in itself. If you can't go to sleep because you're going to get fucking tormented by fucking Freddy, shit, I'm glad that shit's fake. Oh, God. if that came out, that shit was real, Keith, I'd be fucking done.
You know?
I can't even do it. I can't even sleep and be safe. I'm done.
And I'm one of those stupid motherfuckers that... you know, the second you tell me not to do something,
you're gonna do it. And I had to fight that fucker in my dreams as it is, and I learned how, like Dream Warrior style. But I'm like, oh no, you are not going to kill me. Period. I'm still alive, so I must have made it.
Johnny Depp's character in the first one is told no matter what.
Oh my god, and he fell asleep. That kill was the best kill and the most blood. I love that kill.
Right? But I'm that idiot that's sitting there like, I would have done it in half the time. The second she told me not to fall asleep, I'd be taking fucking,
sleeping pills.
I would be grabbing a fistful of melatonin and just be like,
let me meet this motherfucker. I'll show him.
Nobody tells me what to do. Now just out of spite.
Right? You can't tell me I can't sleep. Fuck you, Freddy. I love it, Keith. I love it.
Oh my God. It's such a, like, today it's really cool because I've got you on the show. Then I have Jan Birch from People.
Oh my God. He's awesome.
And then after that, Mickey Farish is coming on.
Holy cow. You got a lineup.
Right.
You're killing it.
Just a couple days ago, I had Dig Farish, which I love. Like, super cool guy.
You are killing it. Maybe you could do me a favor. I need a little bit of help. My film Obscura, we have a Seed and Spark going right now, and we are only about $1,600 away from our goal. We've got pre-sales up of the DVD, autographed and a poster from the director. We also have Eileen Dietz is also in that. So that's going to be absolutely awesome. Robert Lissardo is in it, Tyler Gallant, Jerry Giangelo, and you've got directing Joe Lujan and Jerry Giangelo and Grant James. So we've got three directors. It's absolutely amazing. It is a it's a creature feature. Joe Castro is one of the special effects folks in Los Angeles. And we've got Roxy Trano, who did an amazing job in our on our Goldville shoot. So if you go to Seed and Spark, there's just a really fun perks up there. One for the, you know, the pre-sale of the DVD, and there's only 27 left. So we're not gonna do that again. It's not, you know, that's it. There's 27 left. And then for another perk, we've got the Ravage Rain Universe perk, which is gonna give you I think he said five comic books and two movies from the Ravage Rain universe from Joe Lujan. So definitely go to Seed and Spark Obscura. You can also go to rocketpig.com or you can go whatisobscura.com, and that'll take you to find everything you need. We've been shooting out in a Goldfield, and now we've got a little bit of a break, and they're going to be wrapping the rest of it up in LA.
Send me the links on social media and I'll add them in the description of the video. So
that perfect.
I have it written.
Perfect. Because that one, I think we got 9 days left. We need to get that one done. Yeah. And I'll definitely send you the link to Seed and Spark for What is Obscura.
Because you know, people don't like to actually try to remember shit and type it.
No, they don't. And that's one thing that's nice because you're recording yours. If we were doing it live, I have a huge crew in a huge chat room. Like you know, Jimmy's folks, we all stick together and we go to all you guys' shows and, you know, show support in the chat room. So since you get to edit yours, it's going to make it a little bit more fun.
You know, I am heading in that direction eventually of doing
for the live thing. Yeah.
Possibly.
But I like that you're using the Zoom because I could set up my nice, you know, backgrounds and stuff.
So like I'm playing with the idea. It has its benefits, but so does this.
Mm-hmm.
My first live show, though, for my stream, my Twitch channel will be my first video for that. I've got Derek from Suck It Podcast coming on because him and I just mesh immediately. And, you know,
yeah, I got to go on Suck It.
Dude, he's so good.
Yes, he is.
He's mad at me, though.
Why? What'd you do?
Because I was on his show and he's like, listen, motherfucker, I'm starting to get pissed off at you because normally when I have people on my show that are funnier than me, they're stand-up comedians. This is bullshit.
Oh, no.
He's like, now I got to come on your show and upstage you. I'm like,
ooh, it sounds like a challenge. I think you guys both need to go on the Danny McDermott show because he's the it'll just be a group of laughter.
But what Derek doesn't know is when he comes on my show on October 31st, it's going to be the first live show. He agreed to that.
Okay.
What he doesn't know is I have a shirt that I'm waiting for just that show that says, I shaved my balls for this.
That's great. I love it. I love it. And oh my gosh, just make sure you keep me up to date because I'll make sure to be sharing that live show so that we can, before, you know, the planning on going live, I'll share it, make sure everybody's watching.
He doesn't know anything about the shirt. So, like, the second he comes on the air, he's going to see it and just be like, for fuck's sake.
Well, if he's going to watch this show, you might want to cut it out.
He doesn't watch my shit. He's so busy with his own.
Right? That's funny. That's funny.
He likes to pretend he watches my shit, but I know he doesn't.
There was no way I was going to pretend. I had to at least watch my friends.
This will confirm he doesn't. But yeah, there's the benefit to doing like the pre-recorded is that I can add the links and stuff. Like I just did it for Jonas Wolscher, who had a bunch of links for what he's doing with his new film. So I'm like, hell yeah, I'll put it in the description so people can click on that and kind of support what you're doing. Anytime anybody has links they want me to add, I'm glad to do it. He was just the first to ask, so then I thought to offer because now I'm like, that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And definitely with the number of days that we have left, you know, we're already green lit with Seed and Spark, and that's a wonderful thing. So we're just we did 90% of the filming is already complete. It's just those finishing funds and putting a little bit money back in people's pockets, because it's been a lot of out of pocket expense at this point. But we've got an incredible team. It's just awesome. I cannot wait for you guys to see it.
I love it.
If you go to the Facebook page, you're going to see a lot of behind the scenes videos and a lot of action stuff. And I'll put that link in there for you too.
Beautiful. I can't wait till, like, I've had so many people, it's crazy, that were like, the second they heard me being asked if I'd be interested in playing a horror killer because of the size of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, shit, yeah. They're like, you would be fucking out of your mind not to, you know? And I was like, dude, I'm committed. Like, I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot, like, just for
the. You know, the script is just going to fall in your lap because you've already started manifesting it.
Right.
And that's what you're doing, Keith. You've already started manifesting it.
Right. And it's like, for me, it's like, I don't give a fuck if it's just for the experience to say I did it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but you're going to be hooked. You're going to be hooked.
Right.
I mean, look at all the movies I'm working on. I'm hooked. There's nothing you can do about it. And I'm mostly a producer, but, you know, Joseph Kelly put me in Clown Motel, and my role continued. I survived. I'm a final girl. There's two of us. I'm a final girl in Clown Motel. And so Clown Motel 2, I go pretty deep. It goes pretty deep.
It's
fun. Now you got to see if I survive again. I don't know.
That choice of words is hilarious because Ron came on my show and described it as rivaling porn with how much nudity is in it. So going deep.
Oh, Clown Motel?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so silly. There's no nudity in it.
Really?
At least there wasn't in the first one. He likes to play. No, actually, it's very, very respectful. Very, very respectful. And that might have been Clown NATO or Clown Fear he was talking about.
He's funny. It's on my show. I mean,
yeah, I'll have to, I think it was, it might've been one of the other clown movies because Ron's in a few of them,
but he was talking about what's upcoming that he's working on and said there's more tits in it than a porn. So,
He might also be just trying to get some good publicity out there, but I'm just saying
it is Ron. I mean,
we are a lot of us are female filmmakers, and, there's a lot of respect that, that, you know, we do get. Sometimes showing tits is not the way to do it.
Maybe it's just Ron's tits.
Oh, no. It might be Hammy. I don't know if you've seen Clown Motel 1. Hammy shows his tits. So it might be Hammy again. I don't know. Ron has jokes. You just might have to watch and find out.
Right? Fucking Ron. Every time.
Yep, fucking Ron. He is just, he's a titty man.
He fucking is, man.
Oh my God. And this was classic. I really, it's funny because I'm glad nobody had a camera on it, but when we were at, it was the info list. We were at an info list, wisdom, some kind of party. No, it was at Nation's Fire, and Ron came behind me and literally lifted him up and shook him in front of. A lot of people saw, just nobody had a camera. And I'm like, oh my God, if you weren't gay, I'd have knocked you the fuck out.
The funniest part of that is I'm not even the least bit surprised.
You shouldn't be. He's hilarious. He is relentless.
Oh my God. That dude kills me.
All about the boobs.
When I was on their show, the first thing when I jumped in the green room that I heard was, besides, give your wang a break. I was sitting there dying in the green room.
Oh my God.
Telling their viewer that, you know, they were always picking on for, you know, freaking out over the women he has on the show.
Yep.
Today, not the day, we have a dude coming on. Sorry, buddy. But besides, give your wang a rest and just. It's the first.
He loves it. It's so funny. He loves it.
First thing, yeah. I heard when I came in the green room, and I'm like, it's going to be one of those days, man.
You can't help but have fun. Not for the faint at heart. And definitely not for people that can't take a boob joke or two.
Right.
You know, why not? There's, you know, and you know, with all of the things that go on nowadays, it's like, oh God, please, you know, just please stop.
I forgot. Yeah,
you gotta laugh, and you can't be all super butt hurt over some dumb shit.
It's so true. And I forgot to tell him this story because he would have died. Because I think sometimes he throws people off with the choice of words he uses. For a guy mm-hmm. that's gay, he uses some words that you would think he would find terribly offensive. So that makes me laugh every time because it just shows, like, he doesn't give a shit.
Exactly.
And a friend of mine, a neighbor, happens to be gay. And he's the same way. He's got the...
It's beautiful. It's very colorful. It's beautiful.
greatest sense of humor. And he's a smartass. So he said something smartass to this old woman neighbor. And she says, I'm going to hit you. And he says, please don't. Nobody wants bruised fruit. And I laughed.
That's so awesome. I love it. I laughed. That one, how I got out of spankings was... I grabbed my ankles and held on and told my mom to do it harder. It felt good. That was the last thank you I ever got.
I laughed so damn hard. Man, that's funny as hell. And to have funny humor. I love it. It's so good.
And yes, it is. It is. You got to be able to laugh and to be able to make your mother laugh when... She's really mad, and she was whipping me with a Dr. Scholl's shoe. So, a Dr. Scholl's. You remember those wooden?
Yeah.
Too many spoons had broken. She couldn't get the belt aimed right, so we didn't use a belt. She gave me with that shoe. I said, "Oh God!" I had to hold it. Like, oh, it didn't hurt, but it did. It hurt like a motherfucker. God, it hurt. But I just turned around with the nicest little smile. Ooh, Mom. Do it again. I like that. She lost it. She started laughing. She dropped the shoe. She had to walk away. Because what would you do if a kid?
I feel bad for what I'm gonna do. I don't want to capitalize on your trauma, but if Dr. Scholl's is listening, I expect a fucking sponsorship immediately.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Scholl's. Come on, man. You guys shouldn't have made those shoes. Those hurt.
Right.
So, they hurt. I hid them from her for over a year.
So a part of the funds that I make off Dr. Scholl's sponsorship will go to you for reparations for your ass.
Yes.
I'm going to start a hashtag, heal them cheeks.
Fantastic. That's classic. I absolutely love it. I'm going to have to make my mother listen to the shows. Angela!
I'm going to tag Dr. Scholl's because I want...
Oh, God, yes, please.
...compensation for you. I am now your new lawyer.
Yeah, that did some trauma. It really did. For me to say that to my mother, you know it did some... I was like, how can I make her stop? Do something that just totally cracks her up.
She might have some trauma in this too. Maybe I can get an extra piece of the
pie. Yeah, you could probably get something extra, especially like the year that they went missing because I hit them.
I might get her some kickback too from Scholl's. They might
feel nope, you sure might. That's so awesome. Yep, see, I'm a good kid. I grew up great, even though I got traumatized.
We'll tell the courts if we have to take it there for Dr. Scholl's to pay up. There's a crack in your ass from all that abuse now. We have evidence. It never healed.
God, this is the most I've laughed all week.
Well, shit, I'm glad I could help. Before this gets more depraved, I have another guest in 3 minutes, so.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And my wonderful publicist, Jimmy Starr, thank you. And Eileen Shapiro for hooking it up. And I'll make sure I drop those links for you.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Have a great next show. Bye.
Thanks for your story of torment, too. That
Dr. Schultz for life.
If they pay. If not,
yeah.
We haven't decided how we're going with this yet.
I'll leave that to you, my new attorney.
Right. I'll let you know if I get sponsorship or not. I might just endorse them on the next show just for funsies and see how
that. Oh, that'll be great. That'll be awesome. I love it. I love it, Keith. Great show. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Have a good one.
You too.
That was my friend Angela Joseph. Awesome, awesome person. Had such a blast talking to her, man. We had a lot of laughs. It was a pretty funny conversation. Very chill. I loved her excitement when she found out the show's uncensored so she could say whatever she wants. A woman after my own heart, man. Anyways, I hope you're digging all these Halloween shows. They've been a blast to do. There's plenty more to come. So this Friday, Mick Strawn returns, and he's bringing a guest with him, so you gotta check that out. And we got a lot going on this Friday. I also have CJ Graham on, so it's gonna be a blast, man. Check it out, and until then, I'll catch your asses later, man.